I'm Jonathan Green. This is Lost and Found, and this week, autumn.
That time of year thou mayst in me behold, when yellow leaves, or none, or few, do hang upon those boughs which shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs, where late the sweet birds sang. In me thou seest the twilight of such day as after sunset fadeth in the west, which by and by black night doth take away, death's second self that seals up all in rest. In me thou seest the glowing of such fire that on the ashes of his youth doth lie, as the deathbed whereon it must expire, consumed with that which it was nourished by. This thou perceivest, which makes thy love more strong, to love that well which thou must leave ere long.
Nikki Reimer is chef and owner of Melbourne's Bellotta. Autumn, Nikki, is an interesting time in the kitchen. There's a lot of stuff.
There is a lot of stuff. It's the best time. Although we're not very autumnal at the moment. I need us to be more autumnal.
We're going to get there.
We're getting there. I felt a bit cold this morning, you know, so it's like, okay, here we go. So mushrooms are coming. Can't wait. Turnips are coming, even better. So all these really, really good things are coming. But I feel like at the moment sometimes we have a bit of a glut of things.
We've got a backlog of summer harvest.
I know. Whoever would have thunk it? But you do get to that point where you think the tomatoes are never going to grow, and then all of a sudden you've got too many tomatoes and no one wants, you know, pasta Napoli anymore. So what are you going to do with all of those tomatoes?
But they will want pasta Napoli again.
In the middle of winter.
Yes.
More than likely. So I'm a big person of making sugos and making my own passatas and things like that. So please do it now while you've got those glut of tomatoes.
Do you have a, a lot of families have a big, you know,
get together
day?
Yes. I've got a few friends actually who live in Thornbury, and you know, they do the ring around and say, you free this Sunday, bring tomatoes. They use a big old, like a mincing machine almost, you know, and they pass their tomatoes through to get every single bit out of the tomato. So I love to do that when I can. But if I'm at home, I actually like to cut the tomatoes up and let them dry outside overnight if I can, if the weather's permissible, and with a bit of salt. And a trick I put is I put a little bit of sumac, and the sumac actually adds a little bit of tang almost to the tomato. I think it's great. Or dried oregano is another great one to just leave them while they're drying, and then I blitz them up. And sometimes I might cook that, or I might not even cook that and just pop it in glass and pop it in the fridge.
Lots of options.
Oh, so many.
Did you have a zucchini glut?
Oh, yes, yes. Too many zucchinis. And it's funny, that's the one thing. Fellow chef friends will send photos with boxes of zucchini going, do you want them? You know, it's too many zucchini. I've got friends who've got restaurants in Yarra Valley, and they grow their own, and it's always the one thing they have too many of. And I love to pickle zucchini. There's a great place in San Francisco called Zuni Cafe, and the woman who ran that started a zucchini pickle recipe there that's kind of gone worldwide. Like, I see it all over the place. But essentially what she did was added mustard powder and turmeric to her pickling base. So the zucchinis take on, you know, the green and gold. It's just the best colour. But you add in some shallots to the, like, finely sliced shallot when you pickle it as well. So it's more than just a pickled zucchini. But great on hamburgers. So if you're making your own hamburgers, pickled zucchini is the way to go.
There you go. For those who pick the pickle from their hamburgers.
That's right. Don't this time. A pickled zucchini, like, literally you can do half and half, sugar and vinegar. And I usually go whatever, if I go one part sugar, one part vinegar, I might go a tenth of that in salt. So not too salty. But then it's a good couple of tablespoons of mustard powder and turmeric if I'm doing, like, a 5-litre batch, you know. So it's got to be really yellow. Bring that up to the boil. Meanwhile, with my zucchinis, I just cut them all up. I might do that roughly by hand or on a little slicer. And I actually salt them quite heavily and pack them in ice for an hour. So that actually helps keep your zucchini crunchy soft, if that's possible.
Okay, I'm working with that.
So they're loopy, but they've got a crunch to them when you eat. Rinse off all that salted ice, pour over that pickle liquid, and that will keep for months. It's great.
So in the restaurant trade, as the seasons change,
yes.
When does the punter start looking for that new seasonal menu, do you think?
Yes, I'm a big one. Like, all of my menus are very seasonal focused. So regulars of mine will say, oh, here she goes, Nikki's starting to put those braises on. She's starting to cook more barley, more lentils and things like that, and making her sauces a bit deeper. So probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll really start to see our producers and farmers saying, okay, I've got, you know, the mushrooms have come, we've got a bit of rain, so we've had those fungi growing and things like that, slippery jack local mushrooms, you know, those gorgeous brown and gold mushrooms, and the pine mushrooms will come. So it's kind of, you feel the colder weather, the hankering for red wine, you know that a restaurant's going to have autumn food on, if they're that way inclined. But you will start to see all those gorgeous things, like those ingredients, come out.
So the mushrooms, what do you most look forward to?
Oh, that's a good question. See, mushrooms are hard to go past for me because it's just the smell. I get so excited when I get that tray of mushrooms coming in. But I guess really good cauliflower is another one. I know people say, can't I get that all year round? But more than likely, I'm a big lover of anything that's grown in Victoria. And I think you'll find that when the weather changes and it's colder, you know, everything grows slightly different. And cauliflower is naturally something that's really great in autumn. Not so much in summer. It tends to be a bit watery. But when you get those cauliflowers that are coming up in autumn, they've got really strong flavour. And I love nothing better than just to roast cauliflower, like chop it up and roast it. You know, those smells, immediately when I think of autumn, I'm thinking meaty vegetable smell. I know that sounds crazy, but, and turnips. It's one thing that people go, turnips, but no, they're good.
See, this is a terrible conversation to be having in the presence of Queensland listeners.
Move to the south.
I mean, it's an interesting thing in this country. We assume a certain.
It's amazing, though, isn't it? I love that. I do love the fact that, and I was born in Brisbane, so, you know, I do love Queensland.
They're putting their tomatoes in.
That's right. Oh, wow. Maybe I have to go up there to make my sauces next time. But they have beautiful tomatoes in Noosa. Oh, my God. The Noosa Red, I think they call them. They are the most stunning tomato I've ever had.
See, this is autumn is many things to many people, but I guess it's so much more distinct in the south. It's
I think we feel it more, and I think, you know, particularly our vegetable growers see it more. You know, they'll have better beetroots coming through, they'll have better silver beet coming through. A lot of them will grow all year round, and, you know, they've got cover over where they're growing. But, you know, I've got other people I know who grow near Dalesford, and they say as soon as the temperatures change and you're not getting frost but you're getting cold ground, just things start to get better.
But it's an interesting time because it's so much a time for planting those things which
for the next
into winter we'll start to get the benefit of.
And exactly, yeah.
There's not a lot that's actually, you mentioned mushrooms, there's not a lot that's sort of coming into its own in autumn.
No, and I guess a lot of the time it can happen. I'm finding now with the way the weather is, you know, it's very hard to pinpoint exactly when we're saying this is autumn food now. You know, I've just did a menu change recently and I called it late summer because I knew I'm going to be running into March and I'm still going to have berries and stone fruits. I got the most gorgeous plums. There's a glut of plums, you know, and so this is something that you're constantly working with in a kitchen because you can't just sort of say, okay, you know, December, January, February, March, April, May, you know, it doesn't work like that anymore. So it really, for me, it's all about, you know, I have close relationships with farmers and I'm getting their emails now to say, this is what I've planted, this is what will be coming out in 6 weeks, or this is what I've got now. It's great fun.
Eventually it'll chill off and there'll be a lentil, a braise, and a glass of a steadier red.
Yes. I love all this. You know, it's that planning of using more game, you know, rabbits. And we had a long time there in Victoria where rabbits, we had heaps and heaps of them. I remember as a young chef in the 90s, never a problem to get rabbits. Then we went through a period there was very hard to get them. Maybe connected to drought times, I'm not 100% sure.
Or myxomatosis, one or the other.
Yes, a bit of illness. The poor bunnies. But now I'm seeing more and more. Gippsland is producing some great, there's some great farms there that have got some delicious rabbits. And I literally got the first delivery today. And these rabbits are about almost 2 kilos each. Farmed rabbits and look lovely fat on them, great colour. So I'm actually going to be braising them tomorrow. I can't wait. Bit early.
Nikki Reamer.
Season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, close bosom friend of the maturing sun, conspiring with him how to load and bless with fruit the vines that round the thatch eaves run, to bend with apples the mossed cottage trees and fill all fruit with ripeness to the core, to swell the gourd and plump the hazel shells with a sweet kernel, to set budding more and still more later flowers for the bees, until they think warm days will never cease, for summer has o'erbrimmed their clammy cells. Who hath not seen thee oft amid thy store? Sometimes whoever seeks abroad may find thee sitting careless on a granary floor, thy hair soft lifted by the winnowing wind, or on a half-reaped furrow, sound asleep, drowsed with the fume of poppies, while thy hook spares the next swathe and all its twined flowers. And sometimes, like a gleaner, thou dost keep steady thy laden head across a brook, or by a cider press, with patient look, thou watchest the last oozings, hours by hours. Where are the songs of spring? Aye, where are they? Think not of them, thou hast thy music too. While barred clouds bloom the soft dying day, and touch the stubble plains with rosy hue, then in a wailful choir the small gnats mourn among the river sallows, borne aloft or sinking as the light wind lives or dies. And full-grown lambs loud bleat from hilly bourn, hedge crickets sing, and now with treble soft the redbreast whistles from a garden croft, and gathering swallows twitter in the skies.
Penny Woodward is horticultural editor of ABC's Organic Gardener magazine. She is the author of 8 gardening books, most recently, and this is topical for right now, tomato. Penny, welcome.
Hi, Jonathan. It's lovely to be with you again.
Autumn is a busy time. Before we sort of talk specifics about, you know, and this is the thing, different regions in the country, what are some general principles about what we should be doing in our gardens this time of year?
Well, we're still, to some extent, we're still harvesting. So a lot of us have produce in the garden, so we're still making sauces and that sort of thing. Yep. But really, we're starting to move into pulling out summer crops and preparing the soil for autumn and winter crops. That's quite a lot of work, but it's quite good work. I quite like this this particular change of season, because summer can be a really busy time in the garden with harvesting. So it's a bit more relaxing and slow-paced and quite contemplative, I find.
So if we've, and this is something I did last weekend, pulled out a stack of tomato plants and now I've got some lovely bare soil there, what should I be doing in those de-tomatoed areas?
Well, it depends how much garden space you've got. If you've got plenty of garden space, you should perhaps be thinking about planting a green manure crop. But if you haven't, then adding organic matter is what you need to be doing. So a bit of compost, a bit of well-rotted cow or horse manure, your worm farm, whatever you've got in your worm farm can be added. So you need to replenish the soil after fairly heavy use by the crops. And then I would water it and mulch and just let it rest for a little while before trying to plant.
You don't sort of want to rush in right now, do you? Just let things relax for a moment.
Indeed. Yes, that's a very good approach.
Now, it's a difficult thing on a national program to sort of talk about gardens, because that is such a different proposition in so many different parts of the country. Perhaps we can walk around and maybe look at what people might be doing in different areas. In tropical Australia, for example, Penny, what would be a top of the job list?
It's a really good time to be planting root and tuber crops. So things like galangal, ginger, jicama and turmeric are good to go in the ground in tropical regions at the moment. And the other thing is to keep an eye out for pests like caterpillars, because they can be quite problematic now. And there are a few different ways that you can deal with caterpillars, but one of my favourite is to spray the leaves with molasses, so a tablespoon in a litre of warm water, and spray both sides of the leaves. It seems to clog up the caterpillars' insides. We don't quite understand how, but they don't like eating the molasses.
I'd say they might enjoy the process, but it's not good for them.
Not good for them, exactly. Yes.
In the subtropics?
Subtropics, although we down here in southern states are pulling out our tomatoes, in the subtropics it's actually quite a good time to be planting your tomatoes. So particularly the big ones, which need to go in a bit earlier. So you could put in Groslis and Black Crim, Oxheart, Mortgage Lifter, and my current favourite, which is Cherokee Purple. But make sure you get plenty of nutrition in the soil first.
Now, in arid and semi-arid areas?
It's still relatively dry conditions, and there's a lot of insect pests around. And one good way of dealing with those is diatomaceous earth, which can be sprinkled. It's a natural product that is actually mined, and it can be sprinkled around plants to protect them from crawling insects. But it's also the time of year where you see a lot of powdery mildew around on your cucumbers and pumpkins and things like that. And really, that's not something that you need to do anything about. That's natural senescence at this time of the year, and it just means that those plants are finishing their growing and getting close to the time where you need to pull them out.
Now, warm, temperate gardens, as we're sort of moving south here, and big pests can be a bit of a problem there.
Yeah, look, they're a year-round problem, but particularly when you've got a lot to harvest, and you'll still be having problems with your possums. So I'm really lucky in that my neighbour two doors up feeds the possums in our area.
That's good.
So they don't come and eat my fruit, which is just wonderful. But
our new cat has been a wonderful possum deterrent, I've got to say.
Oh, yes. Well, that's that too. But you can do things like putting slippery collars around the bases of your bigger trees so that they can't climb up. You can net with good netting that won't actually catch the possums in it, because you don't actually want to kill them. They're protected species. So you need fine netting that isn't stretchy. And you can create barriers with bags as well. And temporarily you can do things like chili and garlic sprays and movement sensitive lights and water sprays all help. So often it's a combination of those things.
It's a constant,
constant it is, struggle. Indeed. And the more in a city you are, the harder it can be, in fact.
But it's still in warm and cold temperate areas. I mean, this is a good planting time in those warmer spots.
So it's in cooler and warm temperate and cool temperate regions, you can, because it really gets a bit hot sometimes in summer for growing lettuces, now is a really nice time to get some lettuces into your garden and other leafy greens. So things like silver beet and some of the brassicas, the leafy brassicas as well. So it's a nice time to get those into the ground. And you can protect them with pots and other things, tubes to stop the birds from scratching them out if you're planting seedlings. And it's also a lovely time to get some of the flowers into the garden. And we should never in our veggie gardens forget that we need flowers as well for beneficial insects and birds and all the rest of them. So lupins, poppies and calendulas, so the pot marigolds, can all go in now too.
Too late for Brussels sprouts?
Look, it is a bit. Brussels sprouts need such a long season.
So long.
You need to plant them very early in the season, but it's never too late to try. So as long as you're prepared to maybe not get them in the end, but really Brussels sprouts need to go in when it's quite hot, and you just need to nurture them until it cools down enough for them to start growing properly.
May have to content yourself with lots of broccoli if you've let that go too long.
Yeah, look, it's a brilliant time for planting broccoli, and I would always these days plant sprouting broccoli, because you get to harvest the first head, but then you get all these sprouts and you can harvest broccoli for 8 or 9 months with a decent couple of decent broccoli, sprouting broccoli plants.
That is a wonderful top tip. Penny, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, Jonathan.
Penny Woodward.
Fall leaves fall, die flowers away. Lengthen night and shorten day. Every leaf speaks bliss to me, fluttering from the autumn tree. I shall smile when wreaths of snow blossom where the rose should grow. I shall sing when night's decay ushers in a drearier day.
Glynis Trowell-Nash is fashion editor of The Australian. Glynis, it's autumn. What should we wear?
It is autumn, and I am a big fan of autumn. I won't lie. I quite like the transseasonal season, as it were. And it is, you know, I'm in Melbourne at the moment, and there is a bit of a chill in the air, it's got to be said. Blue skies, very nice. To me, it's all about layering.
Okay.
It's all about layering. And this is that weird time of year where you can sort of still get away with wearing, you know, a summer dress, say, but the easiest way to just kind of warm it up a little bit is just to, I don't know, add a really great scarf or a pair of boots, knee-high boots, for example, that can just sort of take the edge off a little bit. But look, I'm a child of the 90s in many ways. A few decades, to be honest, before that as well. But my favourite styling tip, which I actually did last night at one of the festival events, was to have a summer dress on, but to have it over the top of black opaque tights and a black polo neck.
Well, there you go. You're ready for anything.
Absolutely. It's one of the greatest 90s styling tricks of all time, and one I still use decades later.
It is a time of year, though, when you can get a bit caught out because it's all over the place.
Oh, well, it is. And look, I really love a jacket. I often don't feel quite finished if I don't have a jacket. It doesn't have to be a stitched up, you know, formal jacket. It can just be a kind of throw-on thing. But I often find that that is one of those pieces that you just really want to have at your fingertips. And at this time of year, you don't want a coat. You don't want a winter coat. Denim jackets are really good for this because they are quite warm, but, you know, they will still breathe a bit. And I really love a good denim jacket. I have a few of them, actually. I just got a new one last week and get them lots of different designs. Or just a really lightweight blazer. So it doesn't have to be a heavy wool blazer, and maybe a blazer that's not lined, if you can find one of those. So they are often just really good layering pieces. And, you know, summer dress, blazer, scarf, boot, you're done.
So you can leave a small trail of clothes should you be caught in a climate crisis.
Well, I know. That's when you need a bigger bag, right? Because then it's like you put the scarf in the bag. It can get very, very tricky at this time of year.
What colours are trending for autumn this year?
Well, look, you know, there is always that kind of sense with the changing of the seasons and those wonderful autumnal colours and those kind of rusts and that kind of thing. That's a bit of a mindset, in a sense. Really, right now, what we're seeing, and obviously globally, things are kind of evening out a little bit in terms of, like, we just follow what the Northern Hemisphere does and vice versa to a point. So their spring collections are coming in now, and we can buy those here. What's really great colour-wise is that it is really colourful. And even a lot of the autumn-winter collections that we've just seen on the catwalks this past month are very colourful. So that's fantastic. So really bright reds, pink. I mean, did you see the Oscars red carpet the other week? That was just awash with pink, which is just like my full favourite colour. And the pinker the better. It cannot be hot enough or shocking enough. And also just like, you know, even a bold green is fantastic.
Okay, so our palette is vivid, our palette is vibrant, and we're turning that against the growing chill.
Yeah.
Glynis, thank you so very much.
My absolute pleasure.
Glynis Trowell-Nash. You've been listening to Lost and Found, a Blueprint for Living production this week. On autumn, you heard Glynis Trowell-Nash, fashion editor of The Australian, Nikki Reimer, head chef and owner of Bellotta Wine Bar and Food in Melbourne, Penny Woodward, horticultural editor of ABC's Organic Gardener magazine. You heard too Sonnet 73 by William Shakespeare, read by Sir John Gielgud. Juliet Stevenson read The Ode to Autumn by John Keats, and Fall Leaves by Emily Bronte. producers are Mira Adley-Gillies and Buffy Gorilla. Technical production by Matthew Crawford. I'm Jonathan Green.